Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Title of King you will get. 1 Samuel chapter 8, if you can go ahead and turn there. We're going to look at verses 6 through 9 tonight. It's not fallen to me. It's not irony that the Sunday night before my nephew's death, I preached what I preached. If I remember correctly, was it the Sunday night for y'all who were here? About the Lord taking people home. Early. Now, I'd have to be a fool to believe that that was by happenstance. My brother himself said, God took him home. And it doesn't matter what the homicide investigation says. You know, there's a number of very troubling things that happened that were external things, not anything he did. And no matter what the outcome is, the result was the same. It was time to go. And a lot of that starts with this message tonight and the mindset of this. A king you will get. There's only one king. There's only one leader with anything. It's funny, in a lot of churches, you'll watch, it's called deacon leadership churches, where for whatever reason they function as elders do in biblical times. But they're also chaos when that happens, because it's not a structure with leadership. Leadership's not easy. It's not fun. Everybody wants to lead, but no one wants the responsibility of leading. I don't like leading. I'd rather be the guy sitting on the front row there, not worried about what anybody else is doing. I'm focused on worship. That's what I like. But God did not and has not called me to that. And since God pulled me out of that wheelchair and put me here, that's not been what God's wanted me to do, yet he knows my heart, because I just love worship. That's why I really enjoyed last Sunday. None of the family went. I was the ones of us that were there were the only ones that went to church. The rest of them were spending time with the family. I said, listen, I'm going to church. I want worship, and I needed worship, and that's where I went. And man, I'm so glad I did, because it was powerful. I was ministered to. We had, matter of fact, had communion. I learned how to do poor man's communion there. You take you use two cups, you put the bread on the bottom, and you put the cup with the juice on top of it. And then you get up and pick it up. Come on, man, why did I not think of that? Amen? But it was just refreshing. It was refreshing time. I needed ministered to, and I got it. I got ministered to. It was truly a blessing. But tonight, there's always the battle for every one of us for the title here, a king you will get. Now, most of you understand the context of this. This was God's people. They got complacent. They got apathetic. And what we fail to realize is how easy, and it's so, the part that's so hard is I see so many Christians that don't ever believe that this can happen to them. Well-meaning, mature believers who sit back and go, no, I'm not ever going to walk out on my family. I would never start using drugs. I wouldn't go out and start gambling. You won't today. Because see, Satan doesn't play the today. He doesn't want, that's never on the horizon today. What's on the horizon for today? He only wants about 10 seconds of your thoughts. That's all. He'll be okay with that today. He just wants you for a moment to go, oh, wow, wouldn't that be fun if I went and, oh, man, that'd be great. No, I better stop thinking about that. That's all he needs today. Because when he gets that today, he knows he gets 20 tomorrow. And then the day after, he gets 30. And it's incrementally, if you know what incrementally is, a little bit at a time, you find yourself completely out of connection with the Lord in prayer, completely out of connection with God in fellowship in His Word. See, then He knows. He's got the first and the second. He knows then that the rest will happen in short order. How many people have you ever met that woke up in the morning and go, you know, I'm going to walk out of my family. You know, these people that have been so faithful and loved me and ministered to me and so compassionate and caring and would do anything for me and have loved me in the good and the bad and everything in between. How many have woke up and gone, you know, I'm going to walk out, I'm going to go have an affair today because that's the last thing in the world that anybody would ever think. So today, I'm going to go throw it all away. I'm going to get a hotel room and I'm going to go find someone to have an affair with. It never happens like that. What'd I say? Incremental. Very small. Very slow. Very precise. And then one day, you find yourself laying in a hotel room looking up at the ceiling going, what have I done? How did I get here? Incrementally. See, there's a heart, an issue, the throne. The throne of the heart is established not by apathy, not by indifference, not by default. The throne of the heart is established by overt acts of our will in allowing Christ Jesus complete lordship of our life. Kingship of our life is an overt act of our will on a every daily given, every day. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but it's for me and my house will serve the Lord. Some days you get kicked back hard. Some days it's like if I was to kick on your door, I'm coming through your door. I'm 220 pounds and I am, especially these brothers and sisters, my legs are strong. If I come and kick your door, I can promise you, unless you've got a level 2 or 3, I'm coming through your door. Spiritually speaking, every single day we have an adversary that's coming through that door. He's going to do everything he can to try to get through that door, but the question becomes, what is the armor? Tonight, what is on the throne of your heart? What is endangering kingship? Meaning, residency of the heart. Again, it doesn't happen by default. It happens by taking every thought captive to the will of Christ. It is a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week process. It can never get old. It can never be given up. You cannot abdicate, meaning you cannot lay aside, walk away the throne. It can never be abdicated because if so, the squatter comes. You can't yield temporary leadership to something while you go on vacation spiritually. It can't happen. No such thing as a spiritual vacation. Spiritual vacations equal failure, disaster. You've got to wake up tomorrow more passionate than you were today. That Christ be preeminent. If not, we're going to see what happens. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 6 through 9. If you're able physically, stand out of reverence tonight for the reading of God's Word. But when they said, give us a king to lead us. This displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you that they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt until this day, forsaking me, serving other gods. So they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what that king who will reign over them, will claim as his rights. Father God, I pray tonight, Lord, that your word would go forth in power, Father, and accomplish what it was sent to accomplish. Lord, have full and complete dominion in this place. God, take the blinders off. Open our ears. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Father, hearts that would yield ourselves, our wants, our wills, our passions to you. God, help us to realize, Lord, any yielding of leadership in our lives, any leaving of the throne unoccupied, God, is replaced with a consuming brokenness, Lord, that will leave us more empty than we ever could imagine. Father, help us realize that we have to stay in a continual state of being desperate for you. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, verse 6 again. But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," it displeased Samuel, so he prayed to the Lord. Remember, you got the Israelites here, and for time's sake, I wish we could have done a bunch more of it, but the Israelites were watching all the nations around them that had leaders. They had kings. They had a physical king that they could follow in the battle, and it appealed to them. Why? Because, well, they get to follow the king. And, I mean, they see the king, and everybody's excited because, why? You look like everybody else. Well, what is so ironic in this story is that the Israelites had the king of all kings, had God. And every battle that they went into, the battle was the Lord's, and God would fight, and they would literally not really much have to show up to the battle in the first place because God would literally just break bad. What happens is we look at everybody else. God can be blessing you, and God can be doing all these incredible things in your life. God can be showing out in all kind of ways in your life. You start looking at the person next to you. You start looking at the neighbor next door because, oh, well, they got a new car. And then look at their house. They're able to get someone to do repairs, or they can do upgrades on their house. Look, they got new carpet. And look, they got your driveway, got concrete on it. They got a pool. They got this. They got that. They got all these things. So what you start doing is coveting your neighbor's possessions. You covet your neighbor's wife. Covet your neighbor's husband. Covet your friend's wife, husband, situation, circumstances. And you begin curse the blessings that God has blessed you with. You start cursing the very blessings that God has bestowed on you because you've watched, in many cases, what the devil has given someone else through their lack of faithfulness, or maybe a blessing that God's given someone else. And you begin to think that God should have given you that. What happens is it's a slow fade, a slow slide. But nonetheless, a slide. Once it gets going, I call it even getting to the point of no return. Once it begins to go to a certain level, many times it doesn't stop. First thing I want to share with you comes out of that verse 6 tonight, and is this: let God be king. Do not fall for the trap. I've never met anybody still that is a believer, a professed believer, that walked out on their family, that forsook their first love. I've never watched anybody who fell into blatant or gross immorality, whether it be sex immorality, whether it be drugs, alcohol. I've never met anybody who said, you know what, until I found alcohol, I never knew what it was like to serve Christ, and ever since I started drinking, my relationship with the Lord has gone to the moon. Not one. Not one. And I'm knocking on 50. Now, if I was 30 years old, you'd go, well, you just haven't lived long enough. But I'm going to assure you right now, I never will find one because I've not found one yet. I'll tell you what I have found. One after another, after another, after another, who fell into it, who stand as cautionary tales of what not to do. I sat next to a whole entire row of them last week at Calvary Chapel, U-Turn for Christ. People in the ministry. By the way, that was just the ones now. That's not the ones they've been ministering to for the last 30 years. Group after group after group after group. Many of them no longer with us. They lose about 3 a year. Now, when I say lose about 3 a year, I'm not talking about the ones that quit. I'm talking about the ones that walk away from the ministry and go down the road and either get drunk or on a bicycle or decide that they want to get some crack, heroin, or whatever their poison is and die. happens about 3 times, average a year, every year. My brother just buried one 30 days ago. Had them vapor sticks, them little electronic smoking sticks. Just happened to get a bad batch 3 years ago, 4 years ago. You heard about it on the news? 36 years old, if I remember correctly. Hey, dead. He's dead now. 4 years of horror. He was crying out and saying, "Why, God, will you not allow me to die?" That's how bad it destroyed his lungs. And he died a horrific, miserable death. If I remember correctly, it's 3 young children at home and a wife. But see, the heart cries out for a king. The trap is to allow some other mirage, some other facade, some other lie to replace that. It can even fall for, you know what, nobody's going to tell me what to do. It can fall for any and every manner of deceptive tactics. I'll do what I want to. Nobody can tell me what to do. By the way, rejection of authority in your lives is a rejection of God. Amen? What does the scripture say? There's no what? Authority but that which God has instituted. Good to learn that, by the way. We rebel against authority, we rebel against God. Authority and teaching your kids what? Submission to it's one of the best things that we can do as a parent. Because guess what you're doing when you do that right there? Number one, let God be king. Don't fall for the trap. Very important. Lifelong lesson that all of us can learn. As a matter of fact, the younger we learn it, the easier life actually is for us. And then verse 7, so the Lord told him, "Listen, all the people are saying this to you. It is not you that they've rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." And I'll stop there. Second thing I want to share is this. When God is not on the throne of our hearts, we reject blessing and truth. See, we can't be blessed. We're not living in truth when God is not preeminent, when God's not enthroned on our hearts. So what we do, we reject truth. We reject blessing because God can't bless a mess. He won't. If so, he's a liar. God's not going to start being a liar because of us. Amen? I'm thankful for that. We reject blessing, but ultimately we reject truth. Because what does truth call us to? Kingship, lordship. There's no salvation without lordship. You can't say, "I'm a follower of Christ, but he's not going to be the Lord of my life." Conceptually, I challenge you to think about what I'm saying. Take it home and smoke it over this week. Get in God's Word and see if what I'm telling you is true. There's no such thing as salvation minus lordship. He must be our Lord. I've been crucified with Christ. What I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. How can we have a Savior with no lordship? What does the Lord do? The Lord lords over someone. What does Scripture call us to? Take every thought captive to the will of Christ. You see the lordship of Christ in every call spiritually. Flee immorality. All of sin is external. We sin sexually. We sin against the Holy Spirit. Look at that. All of it is lordship. It's Christ lording over us. Lordship's imperative. Not only that, without lordship, without yielding all to Christ, without blessing and without truth, what is there left? Nothing. Because if Christ isn't on the throne of our hearts, we're not living in the covenantal blessing of the new covenant promises. There's nothing left. We've hollowed out, and then there is no picture of Christ at all. We actually have what's considered man-centered salvation, which again is no salvation at all. We have framed our religion as a wolf. We become a wolves in sheep's clothing, and at that point, the sheep's clothing comes off. And we actually are revealed for what we really are. And then verses 8 and 9, and as they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me, serving other gods, so that they are doing as they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights. Now we're seeing this right here as the Israelites in their sin were being given what God did not want them to have. They continued to cry out. Good principle in this, by the way, and a whole other picture, and I'll tell you in a second. We hear somebody say, well, if God didn't want me to have it, I won't have it. Oh, we better be careful saying that. You keep on crying out to God after she's no, 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 no. There'll come a point when God will give you what you desire, even if it destroys you. Well, how would he do that? I don't know. Ask Samson. Ask Samson why God allows certain things. Ask King David why he allows certain things. Ask the Israelites why does he? He loves us so much. If we continue to call out, we continue to cry out, we continue to say, God, why not? Why won't you let me? Why won't you let me? Why won't you let me? I keep knocking, I keep knocking. He says, no, 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 no. Okay. If you really want it. The very thing that can destroy us, he'll give us. And that's the final application principle tonight is this. If we forsake God as king, heartache and pain will. It will follow. It's not a question of might. It's not a question of possibly could. It will. That's all that can follow. What is that thing in your life that you think tonight is not that big of an issue in the back of your mind? It's a little thought. Maybe it's on the forefront of your mind, but you just entertain it in the stillness of your life because no one will ever know. Oh, yeah, they will. Just give it time. Time is the great revealer. Time. It's like Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption. If anybody ever's watched that movie, remember what it did to his freedom came? Two words. Time and pressure. The pressure of that little rock hammer and the time. Approximately 30 years, wasn't it, if I remember from the movie correctly? He made a hole and he dug out of a solid rock walled prison with time and pressure. And that's a spiritual concept from the enemy. He's got time. He'll put the pressure. Remember our adversaries? What is it? Prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Tonight, I always think about it in the visual sense. I'm a visual person. I always think about watching cats. Cats are much like lions. You don't see them. What do? They stalk. Always, ever slowly. Remember this? They do like this. What are they doing? They're looking for weaknesses. Imagine if we took serious imagining the enemy walking around our home place outside, watching, see through the walls, sees through everything. What is he doing? He's watching. He's waiting. We know what Scripture says. Well, how would you be able to say that, brother? Because Scripture says he prowls like a lion, what? Seeking whom he may devour. When does he hit you? When you've had an argument with your husband, your wife. When the kids are acting up. And you want to go out to a store and buy a bunch of drinks. You want to do something foolish because you're tired of it. You're sick of it. You just need a little rest. You want to justify, oh, we're going on a cruise, so I'm going to go out there. Nobody will ever know me. I'm just going to let my hair down. There ain't nothing wrong with that, is there? Oh, there is a whole lot. You're playing right into what he wants. You're yielding lordship, even if only for 3 days on your little cruise. that we don't realize the implications of what happens in the heart and the mind and how all those intertwine in relationship spiritually speaking. The Bible says there's no free sin. It's going to cost. The question becomes, it takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and it's going to cost you more than you want to pay. Is it really worth it? Is going in, letting your hair down, really worth it? Men, a spiritual watchman on the wall in your home, this is a priest of the home, is it worth it? Do you want to open up and subject your family to that? Really, do you? Ask King David. Do you really want to open up your family to that level of attack? I ask you that question. If you say yes, we need to talk. Because I don't know anybody in here that would leave your children out in a forest when there's a lion prowling, unprotected. But yet when that happens, that's what we do. Don't think he's going to go and capitalize on those moments of weakness. And then we want to respond with, well, I mean, you know, I'm only human. Stop it. Do not minimize the power of the Holy Spirit to sustain us at a time when we can't even breathe, walk, or talk. God's power is sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. We've got to capitalize on the strength. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Yes, there'll be times when, like right now, I can't remember anything. My mind is fried right now. The last 2 weeks, mentally, what I've gone through, a week and a half, whatever it's been now, almost 2 weeks Tuesday, has literally left me with my memory. I can't even remember anything. It's taken a toll on me. But what that reminds me of is I can't take any time off spiritually in the home as a watchman on the wall. I can't do that. Do I want to? Yes. Oh, do I ever? But I can't. Because I know right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, a king I will get if I do. And it's not going to be King Jesus in lordship. It's going to be the prince, the power, the king of darkness who desires to replace and leave me but a shell of the man that God desires me to be. And I let all of these pictures of Scripture be a continual reminder to me of what the adversary desires. Desires not only in my home, in my family, in my personal life, but also in this body of Christ. He wants to be the laughing mockery of Middle Tennessee, of what once was, but no longer is. He wants me to be one of the tens of thousands throughout history that God had used so mightily, that had long been relegated to whispers and jokes about what once was. Integrity is something that has to be guarded continually. Without apathy, having long excused indifference and all of the other things that crouch at the door. I know tonight, without a shadow of a doubt, because if not, a king we will get. But I think we'll be much like the Israelites. Look at the king that they got. What happened in short order? He was dethroned. The kingdom was stripped away from him. And look at the mess. One after another, after another, after another. Tonight, the only hope, the only peace, the only joy, the only fulfillment that we'll ever have is in complete lordship to the only King, the only Lord, the only fulfillment, the only hope that mankind will ever have. Are there days when you're going to feel like you can't take it out? Yes. But his grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. He is sufficient. He is all strength. He is all hope. He is everything. Let him be king. Don't fall for the trap. Let him be king of everything. Let him be king of the room tonight that you're holding from him. The area that you're battling, but nobody knows about. Let God open up that door tonight. Maybe it's just a little closet. Maybe it's a cabinet in the back of a laundry room, so to speak, of your heart. The one area that you let yourself keep control of. Let him have it. You know what he'll do? He'll change your life. He'll change your wants, your wills, your dreams. And if you're really sincere in your desire to allow him to be what he desires us to be, he'll give you great peace in knowing that those doors are open. That there's nothing that's going to jump out like a jack-in-the-box. Jack-in-the-boxes I don't like because they startle me. Anybody else? I was once again reminded of how I don't even have words that can describe it in saved terms, of how what level of disdain I have for being shocked. And I was truly shocked 2 weeks ago, Tuesday. I have no words. I have an inside post-traumatic stress. I've had it before. When the phone rings, inside, I get a horrid feeling. And I know it's the enemy, and I know I need to deal with it. But I hate when my phone rings. I hate when it makes a noise. You know why? I have this overwhelming sick feeling because there's been so many things that have brought such tragic news across phone to me. I would like to think every time it rings, I get a feeling of elation or joy. But sadly, because of things recently, there's been a lot of bad things that I've been called about or texted about. So it's made me kind of like somebody who's been at war when 4th of July comes around. Something that should be such a joyous event and celebration is something right now that I'm going to have to work through again over the coming months. Because, again, it is something that's heralded such bad news. Tonight, don't get caught by surprise in guarding your heart, in guarding your life, in guarding the throne of your heart. Because there's only one that can sit on it. Therefore, it needs to be guarded with a passion like none other. There's no place in the guardianship of your heart for apathy. There is no place in the guardianship of your heart for indifference. There is no place for complacency. Because that is a one-way track to failure and ruin and shame and disgrace and dishonor. And all the other words that I could share with you that characterize what crouches at the door. But tonight, you can armor up. You can remember what the picture is portrayed in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and realize, whoa, that's our life. That's the picture of what every single day we're choosing. Are we going to choose what God's given us and what God's blessed us with? And are we going to be satisfied with that and say, I don't need any of the rest of this. I don't need this lie that he says. We're going out and running around and doing this or doing that or some kind of job that he's dangling before you like you would a mouse in front of a cat to bat at or to look at or smell to try to chase. I don't need that, Satan. I don't want it. Because what God has for me is best, and what God has for me will be everything my heart could ever desire. Get thee behind me in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you liar, you thief. I want no part of your lies. I've had enough of them, and I don't want any more. And when you get a call, when you've lost somebody, rebuke him the enemy. Rebuke him. He might have won a battle and my nephew out of here, but he's lost the war. See, we don't know who's next, who gets the call. So I want to encourage you tonight to go and do battle spiritually on your knees and in front of those people in your family. Because again, it has shocked me more than anything has shocked me in my life. And it takes a lot to shock me. You go do what Jude says, snatch others from hell, even hating the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. What does that mean? You do everything in your power, spiritually speaking, take on hell with a water pistol for those people in your life that you know that may not know Jesus. Don't believe you have tomorrow. Don't believe that the lordship of your heart is a secure thing that'll never be under threat. Don't you dare. If you do, you've only fooled yourself and the truth isn't in you. Every single day, we have to guard the integrity of our hearts, our homes, from apathy, from ruin, from attack. Scripture talks about running the race to completion. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's the only objective that we have tonight, is to run the race to what? Completion. It's what Scripture says. It's not my word, it's God's word. Do not grow weary in doing good, because in due season you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Scripture, not mine, God's. What does that tell us? Right. You can stop running the race. You can give up. That's not an option, church. I know it's not for me, and I hope it's not for you. Because there's too many people around us that need the truth, they need the gospel, they need hope tonight. There's too many of us that the enemy's prowling around outside and you're not realizing it or recognizing it or seeing it for what it is. Tonight, go home and do battle on your knees before the Lord. Do battle tomorrow when you get up. You pray without ceasing. That's what God's word says. If you need to, set an alarm on your phone. Write sticky notes and stick them on your mirror in the bathroom. Write them and stick them on the dash of your car. Go to work and stick it on your computer. Why? Remind yourself to pray without ceasing. If you need to set a phone at night to remind you when you get up to go to the bathroom, pray, do it. Put a sticky note next to your bed or on the toilet. Put cellophane over it so when you sit on it, you're reminded, oh, that was bad. Because I promise you, you'll remember that something's not right the moment you start trying to pee on cellophane. And you'll start praying, won't you? I'm saying that I'm trying to send things to you to help you trigger. If you want to get serious about it, you've got to do things that make you uncomfortable and compel you to remember things. Because apathy, indifference, and complacency remind you of nothing. Tonight, is it a king you will get? Or is it a king you have that you will hold to with an undying and unyielding passion? And tonight is just another reminder of how precious that king is and that lordship, how precious it is to you. Or is tonight one of those nights when once again he's going on about the same old, had a person say many years ago to their spouse, you know, I'd kind of like to go to a different church because the preacher is so predictable. That's a badge of honor because truth doesn't change. Truth is very predictable, church. God's word is very predictable. You know why? It hasn't changed and it never will. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, wholly lean on Jesus' name. Christ is solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. I hope tonight the solid rock you stand on is a solid rock in Christ. I pray tonight you realize, you recognize that all other ground is sinking sand. That yielding kingship and lordship is a recipe for unmitigated disaster that will not only destroy and leave you a shell of a person, but leave a wake that can potentially impact generations to come. Let's pray. Father,
thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.